This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. Heart Month was during the month of February, and we are going to be bringing you an informational piece today about the heart, the human heart, and cardiac awareness and heart disease prevention. We are speaking with Greg Yost, Dr. Greg Yost, a board-certified and fellowship-trained interventional cardiologist with interest in interventional cardiology specifically. He did attend Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. That's where he earned his medical degree. Dr. Yost completed his residency and his fellowship in cardiovascular disease in Danville at Geisinger Medical Center. He is certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine in cardiovascular disease and other interventional cardiology. Dr. Greg Yost, thanks for being with us on the program today. Let's begin with a definition. Heart disease, as we talk about it, can refer to more than just clogged arteries, correct?
Yeah, no. So it can be quite broad. I mean, most commonly we think of heart disease, we do think of heart blockages, heart artery blockages. Yeah, but there could be a lot more than that. And people can have heart disease and what we call heart failure without having any heart artery blockages. Sometimes people have inherited forms of weakening of the heart where they're, you know, it's not related to any heart artery blockages. Sometimes related to, or sometimes they even have heart valve issues. Again, not necessarily related to heart artery blockages. So there's quite a broad spectrum of things that can affect the heart, weaken the heart, or make the heart not form at its normal capacity as it should and be unrelated to heart artery blockages beyond that. So
I always think there's so many things you hear about that lead to problems with the heart, but I guess it's because it's rather crucial to continuing.
No, absolutely. And, you know, heart disease and thinking of heart artery blockages, I mean, it's one of the most prevalent things that's in our country, unfortunately, and one of the leading causes of death. And also one of the things that we could certainly act on to try to prevent, the going forward.
How prevalent is it in the U.S.? Is it the top killer, or does it, you know, top of certain demographics?
It's at the top. It's ahead of most cancers, lung disease, and stroke. So heart disease is the most prevalent that's out there, and unfortunately, in our country.
Now, as far as the rest of the world is, does the U.S. stand apart, or is the entire world in the kind of in the same boat when it comes to this?
Yeah, unfortunately, the entire world is affected by this, so we're not alone.
And I feel like there's things that we do here that probably are done differently elsewhere, such as diet. I mean, does that not make a difference because that's only dealing with the clogged artery, you know, portion of the picture?
Yeah, no. So I mean, diet has a huge part of it, and you know, unfortunately, things have changed over the course of decades and centuries. The things that we eat now are not maybe not necessarily as healthy as what they were in you know many years ago. Things being processed foods and things like that does play a role in contributing to, you know, acceleration of heart disease. So while there are some things that are a genetic form, which may not be related to people's diet at all, a diet does certainly play a huge role. And we have seen by diet, smoking, things like that, with that, the numbers of or the incidence of heart disease has certainly accelerated over the decades in the past century.
Okay. And you mentioned smoking. I always felt accomplished when the doctor would say, do you smoke? And I say no. And they say, well, that's a great start for fighting heart disease. Is that kind of the big one? Or is it just that if you do, you should definitely quit, but there's other major causes as well?
Yeah, no, it is very much a huge player in heart disease. It's not the only one, but it is a very big part of it. There's a laundry list of things that we could say that you could do to make your heart healthier. And, you know, cutting out smoking would certainly be a huge one that would at least lessen your chances or reduce the acceleration of plaque that may already be in somebody's heart.
And speaking of smoking, drinking, I know in certain times we've heard that, was it red wine can be beneficial to the heart, or is that still something that's discussed?
It is, and so this has been looked at, and sometimes this goes back and forth. I think the overall, and some studies have even looked at, is it just red wine, or is it any type of alcohol? And I think the key is that, you know, alcohol and moderation, I think, is the big impact to it. Certainly there's some antioxidants and things like red wine. And so while there is, I would say in moderation, it would be okay. I think the big thing is if you drink a lot of it, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be healthier.
Yeah, you know, and lifestyle. I mean, 100 years ago, jobs were a lot more physical. Has that played a big sure. part because we're all sitting behind desks now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly it may not just be related to somebody's job, but I think just the overall activity level. I mean, things were in a, certainly a society where things have, we've made it a lot easier for ourselves in getting places, getting things done. However, I think there has been some impact to that, and maybe that we're not as a huge society or as a society in whole as active as what we were maybe, and, you know, our ancestors or, you know, our family was before us. And with that, you know, when you are not as active, certainly that does affect certainly not only just muscle tone, but certainly your other organs and heart especially.
Okay. And who needs to be most aware of this? At what age do I need to start saying, this is something I need to really monitor, you know, be screened for, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, so we've come a long way over the years, and I think we've learned a lot, you know, looking back historically. So before, you know, we would just kind of say, all right, anybody who's over the age of 20 or maybe even their 30s, we should at least talk to them or at least be seen by their, you know, their primary care provider and make sure their blood pressure is okay. Maybe at least have a cholesterol screening at least once. Make sure their blood sugars are in an acceptable range. However, just knowing what we know from historical data, that the chance to jump on this, get ahead of it, it actually maybe should be a lot sooner. And even in our you know, our childhood, even pre-adolescent years, there are some guidelines now coming out and saying that, you know, we should start screening our children as early as 9 years old with their cholesterol. Check them at least once when they're in the age of 9 to 12 years old, and then maybe again later on in their sort of college years from 17 to 20, 21. Looking back at historical evidence that we have back to kind of the Vietnam era, unfortunately, you know, our young soldiers back then who are not certainly dying of heart disease, but for obviously reasons related to war, autopsies were showing that these, you know, young men at the ages of 18 to 22 were already having incidents or evidence of heart plaque build up in their heart arteries. And as you kind of alluded to that, you know, I'm sure their lifestyle, their activity level were probably better than maybe what we are doing now. Diets were probably, you know, not necessarily as much processed food back then. You know, maybe there was smoking going on, who knows, at that point in time. But unfortunately, as we can see, is, you know, even back then, and this is, you know, in the 60s and 70s, these young people are already having incidents or evidence of plaque built up in their heart arteries. Now, unfortunately, that may not show up to be a problem where we're actually seeing blockages and heart catheterizations until, you know, decades later. But if we can start to prevent it at that such an early age, you know, we may be able to prevent things like stroke, heart attack, decades down the road. And I think that's the big thing going forward here and what we've learned from that. And that's where we're starting to institute now at much earlier ages. So the sooner we can jump on this, the better. So certainly in adolescent years, even in the early 20s, you know, probably good to, you know, make sure your blood pressure is under control. Have a you know, blood sugar and a cholesterol panel at least checked once. And, you know, if your children are following with a pediatrician, you know, maybe check it at least once in their even pre-adolescent years. to stave off anything, especially if there's a strong family history.
When it comes to cholesterol, obviously that's a big contributor to you know, certain types of heart disease. But how far have we come in dealing with that? I mean, is that there's medicines, but everybody I talk to is comes out as kind of terrified as of this of statins. I mean, are there new things being developed, or is that your, you know, your best bet?
Yeah, so the statins are still kind of they're the mainstay of therapy. I mean, they're the ones that we kind of go to. They're the primary ones that we resort to. Most of the evidence that we have at preventing major events, those major events being a heart attack or stroke, or even preventing recurring episodes of that or recurring events, are with statin medications. Now, as you also said, is that there could be downsides to it, and people having muscle aches and, you know, not feeling well on taking them. So there are newer agents that are out as alternatives to statins. However, the mainstay is still statin therapy. And even to get some of these other agents, we still recommend people being on some of these statin therapies in addition to that.
And my doctor mentioned garlic as a supplement. Is that kind of a standard sometimes for people whose cholesterol isn't off the charts, but could kind of keep it under control?
I would say there's little downside to it, but I don't think that it would necessarily have a tremendous impact on lowering the cholesterol beyond what it is. There are, you know, certainly natural supplements that people could use, including things like garlic or fish oil. Some people have used red yeast rice. And that may be beneficial in people who don't necessarily have high, or what we consider high, cholesterol, just to kind of help maintain where it's at. But if somebody already has elevated cholesterol levels above what we consider our target for what their age or risk factors are, I think they would probably need an alternative medicine like a statin or something similar to that to help lower it beneath the target zone.
Let's say someone in 1960 has heart disease and somebody today has heart disease. How much better are they going to fare today based on what we now know as far as treatments, surgery, et cetera? Have we come kind of light years ahead, or has it been a slow, steady climb?
No, we're way ahead of what we were, half a century ago. Even if we look back in the past 30 years, what we've come from is as you kind of said, light years. Somebody who unfortunately may have had a heart attack in their 70s and 80s, so they would come into the hospital and sit in the hospital and make it aspirin and pain medications that kind of help get them through a heart attack. And, you know, over the past, 20 to 30 years, we've been doing heart catheterizations with balloon angioplasty, and then the advent of stents, putting in people's heart arteries, has come a long way, is where we're no longer giving a medication to try and hopefully improve a heart attack. But we now know by putting in stents or balloons to open up a blockage, that we're getting like a much better result in terms of what we call revascularization, opening up these arteries and improving blood flow to the affected heart area so that we can limit the damage that could be done. And then going beyond that, after someone has a heart attack or if they've had heart arteries that were opened up, there's newer medications that have come out within the past few years that are keeping people out of the hospital. They're actually helping improve what we call mortality, keeping people out of heart failure, and actually improving, in addition to just opening up arteries, improving their heart function after a heart attack. One other thing I can mention on top of that too is maybe in the past, even 10 to 20 years, is the newer therapies that we have in valve disease, or what we call structural heart disease, whereas we previously it was solely relied on what a surgeon can do to fix structural defects in the heart or abnormalities to the heart, whether that was a valve issue or congenital anomalies to the heart. We've now started doing valve implantation without ever having to open up somebody's chest. And even fixing a leaky valve without having to open up somebody's chest. So this can all be done by entering through a blood vessel, say in their leg, much like we do with a heart catheterization. People can be up, sitting up in bed with no chest incision, no tubes in their chest, no necessarily breathing tubes, and could be up walking and out the door within 24, 48 hours. Whereas, we go back 2 to 3 decades ago, people would be in the heart or in the hospital for, no less than a week. And then you would anticipate a 3 to 6 month recovery time. I think for sure we have more to offer somebody who comes in acutely when they're in kind of dire straits. But the other thing is, what we have now in terms of offering people as a preventive mode is so much more than what we had before. We actually did not have some of the stuff before. And this continues to evolve over time, where we're just coming out with newer and newer things that may be targeted to specific genetic traits that people have. And I'm sure that it will continue to improve over the coming future.
Okay. Why has there been such a focus on this that, and yet you said the numbers are still high, or are we making progress in, getting that death total down, basically?
Yeah, I think we're making progress, but I think there's also, I think there's more recognition for it now. I think we are, as a whole, as a medical society as a whole, I think since there is more attention to it, people are maybe getting more care than what they used to in the past. Certainly I think people are going to see their providers with more attention to it, whereas, in the past, people died of what we call natural causes, and we just kind of, as a whole, just sort of accepted that and may not have known really what came from this. But I think now that we do know a lot more, and we do a lot more testing in terms of screening and things like that, I think the prevalence is still there. And maybe, with the population going up, we're seeing more and more of it. So I think for those reasons, it's we still have a ways to go, but I think we can still keep chipping away at it.
Dr. Greg Yost from Geisinger talking today about the human heart, about heart disease and ways you can prevent problems from occurring and keep track of and stay on top of your own heart health. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Yost. And we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.